The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this Sunday, the 21st day of August, 2022. And tonight, the title of the message is The Unholy Confederacy, the Apostate Church and Corrupt Government. The Unholy Confederacy of the Apostate Church and Corrupt Government. And so we're going to start tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But before we do, tonight at Doers of the Word Church, this evening actually we, during our The Bible and Current Events Hour, we showed a film. And this film was absolutely, it was on election fraud. It was on election fraud, and folks, I'm going to tell you, it was absolutely dynamite. Now, there's actually another one up there that, from what I hear, covers every state, the election frauds in the different states. See, it's coming out. They tried, you had this unholy alliance there with the fake news media, the entire Democratic Communist Party, and the fake news media running interference and covering up for the corrupt Biden regime and their election fraud. And not only was NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, and PMS, NBC, but also Fox News also was a major part of the cover-up. And so here I want to, and by the way, they would not allow 2,000 mules to be promoted on their station. So now, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tonight, we're going to pick it up. But if you go on the internet to frankspeech.com, frankspeech.com, you can look it up in these segments. This DVD of this film is there on frankspeech.com. And so I encourage you to go and check them out. Now, going to, starting tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we start with verses 1 through 4. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means that the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Now, first of all, I wanted to say that the Apostle Paul was making it very clear that about his apostolic authority that he had, and the truth in what he was saying here. Two, if we take a look, I wanted to go back about 1967, there was a fellow named Jürgen Moltmann. And Jürgen Moltmann was the professor of theology at the University of Tübingen. Now, he teamed up with a Marxist philosopher named Ernst Bloch. And Moltmann ended up combining the theologies of the Lord Jesus Christ and Karl Marx. You say, what? Yeah. Karl Marx was a dedicated Satanist. And so Moltmann wrote a book called Theology of Hope. Now, in the teaching of what you call liberation theology, this was the start of what they've referred to as liberation theology. And you've had some of the best-known apostates there in liberation theology over the years was one named James Cone. And here, some of these people, and this is where Abomination, where his pastor, where Obama's pastor, the Reverend so-called Wright, and others got their theology from this liberation theology. There was another one, I believe, Gustavo Gutierrez and Jose Miguez Benino, Porfirio Miranda is another one, Juan Lu Segundo. Most of these people were from down in Central South America. And so here, the teachings of liberation theology, to really sum it up pretty much, is they have a whole different viewpoint. It's a whole different Jesus they're preaching, an entirely different Jesus. Change is not achieved through individual salvation, is what he taught, but through the church confronting society concerning injustices. In other words, salvation under liberation theology is not an individual. There's no such thing as an individual salvation. Their salvation is of a collective, and that salvation is not eternal life the way we believe, what the Lord Jesus brought us, but that Christ will return someday, and he will transfer the wealth of the very wealthy. He will take down the very wealthy and transfer their wealth over to the poor. And this is their theology, folks. And then also their Marxist principles, their teaching is that you love one another, but there is no recognition. They do not recognize sin, that there's anything that such a thing as sin. And here, again, it's all about the collective. It's all about the so-called struggle against the powers to be. And this is what they call liberation theology. And this is practiced by the World and National Council of Churches. And so I want to take you over here to, and what Paul was saying here makes it very clear. For if you cometh, there cometh another preaching, another Jesus. That's they've got a whole different Jesus than what we preach. And they receive a different spirit. That's a whole different spirit than what we have, than what the Holy Spirit is. And a whole another gospel here, as it says, which we have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with them. Now, that word bear there is not the way it's used. In other words, like to bear a burden, if you carry this burden or bear it, the word there means, actually it's a word for pushing against, to push against. And so he's telling you, when they come bringing this to preaching another Jesus, preaching another Holy Spirit, preaching another gospel, push against it, push it away. And then I want to go over to verse 12 and read 12 through 15. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, that they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Well, here, today, we have very well-known apostate preachers. By the way, apostasy and comes from the word to apostatize. That's a medical term. What that means is becoming infective. When something apostatizes, it becomes infected. In this case, the apostate church is infected. It's infected with sin. And here, there's very, very well-known preachers out there today, and they embrace. And if they embrace any one or more of these, then they are considered to be apostate. Abortion, one; euthanasia, two; sodomy, LGBT, feminism, transgenderism, critical race theory, whoredom, adultery, fornication, bestiality. Those also who embrace, those that embrace one or more of these are considered to be apostate. Now, here, just recently, Al Sharpton has come out and stated that the Bible teaches, the Bible condones abortion. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God's word, the Bible condemns the killing of children. Al Sharpton also embraces sodomy. He embraces LGBTQ. If it is a sin, that wicked little man will embrace it. Now, he is not a minister of God by any means. He is a minister of Satan. The devil is his father, not Christ, not God by any means, okay? The same could be said for his predecessor, Jesse Jackson. These people promote and they embrace sin. And, of course, there's a whole lot of the apostate preachers out there today. No. And then the apostate churches out there, the World and National Council of Churches, United Church, I refer to it as the United Church of Antichrist. They call themselves United Church of Christ. The Episcopal. Some of these, most of these, or nowadays, have women preachers. Many of them have Wiccan witches right in the pulpit. First of all, God's Word, the Bible, makes it very clear. Women are not allowed to be ordained ministers and pastors of churches. And that's what God's Word, the Bible, teaches. And they say, here's the thing. There's people out there have an attitude, well, you know what, if I don't agree with it, maybe God made a mistake or maybe God needs to change it. No. You see, if you don't agree with it, then you're wrong. God has never lost an argument. And again, folks, you're in for a rude awakening. God doesn't make mistakes. And here you have these where, especially the Episcopal Church had an actual witch as its leader for a while. I know they broke off with the African Episcopal Church because of the sin that's embraced in the Episcopal Church in this country here today, the Pilgrim Church. I know that most of the United Churches of United Methodist Church, most of them, I know that there was a split between the Southern and the Northern churches where the Southern churches were more conservative and would not. That was a while back. I don't know how they are today. But here, most all of your Lutheran churches have apostatized. Now, and God has kept, it seems like, a remnant in all of these. I know that you had the Free Will Methodist that God has kept. There are still some conservative Lutheran churches that have not apostatized. But in these churches, especially in the Roman Catholic Church today, pedophilia is rampant. Homosexuality and pedophilia is rampant within them. And it's rampant within these apostate Protestant denominations too. And so here we read, what I do, I will do that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory to be, that they may be found even as we. The Apostle Paul is saying that, look, these apostate preachers, these false teachers here, they will say, look, we're apostles just like Paul and Peter and the rest. But Paul is saying, no, don't even give them a platform to stand up and start preaching their heresy, because they're not. He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. I remember some years ago when Mayor White of Cleveland was the mayor, and he asked the pastors, I got an invitation to come down with a number of other pastors to discuss whether or not city council should open in prayer. So we went down, and there was a number of us actual Christian pastors, and then there was a number of the apostate preachers there. And of course we said yes, we should open in prayer. We should always call upon the name of the Lord and ask for God's leading and direction. The apostate preacher said no, if you open in prayer, you're going to offend non-believers. Well, as I was leaving there, this apostate Lutheran preacher came up, and he said, now, Brother Sanders, I know we don't agree on everything, but we're still brothers of the Lord. I said, no, we are not. We are not. We're not brothers because we don't have the same father. And, you know, your father is the devil, and you know that. You embrace abortion. You embrace sodomy. Everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls a sin, you embrace. And he had nothing to say about that. And so here he goes on and says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed, as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And then I want to go over to Romans chapter 16. And in Romans chapter 16, I want to read verses 17 through 20. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions of offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches they deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. In other words, he's saying, look, your reputation here for your faith and obedience to the Word, your reputation for your obedience to the Word is well known. And he said, I would love to have you. He says that I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf, but I would have you to be wise into that which is good. In other words, what is good? God's Word, God's laws, God's statutes, God's ordinance, God's commands, God's teachings, the Bible. And then he says, that I would rather have you to be simple-minded concerning evil. In other words, to have very little knowledge of those things out there today, the sinful things. And today, the simple-mindedness is, well, it's massive in this country today. Because of wherever you have biblical illiteracy, you have simple-mindedness. And this is why people, you ask yourself, have these liberals, have these people lost their mind? Have they gone crazy? They tell little kids in the public schools, they tell the little boys, maybe you're not a boy at all, maybe you're a girl, vice versa. They have things where they've got some of the children actually believing that they're little animals. They have some of the children actually believing that they're little puppies and things in the school. They don't know what a woman is. You say, well, that's insanity. Well, the Bible calls it reprobate. They have become reprobate. And here now, you have many of those where it talks about mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. So he's talking about what God's word, the Bible, teaches. Mark those to come in and cause division by bringing in false doctrines. For example, you have people that come in and they bring in the, well, I think the number one false deity is to deny that Jesus is the Lord. You know, they'll admit that Jesus is the Son of God, but they won't admit that he's God's the Son. They'll teach that Christ is a created being. In fact, some of those cults actually teach that Christ and Satan are brothers. But the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ is the creator. And all things were created were made by him, okay, including Satan himself. Other things that they teach that the Bible was very, very clear on, for example, they teach that you can lose your salvation. That you can lose your salvation. Well, folks, the Bible teaches very clearly that your salvation, see, if you could lose it, you would lose it. If you could lose it, you would lose it. All it would take would be a sin. But the Bible teaches that your salvation is kept of God. Let me ask you a question. The Lord Jesus Christ took our place upon that cross. He shed the most valuable quantity that ever existed. That was his own blood. So let me ask you a question. Do you really think that God the Father would place that precious gift of salvation, of eternal life, what Christ shed his blood for, what Christ bought with his own blood, do you really think that God the Father would allow that to be kept in the hands of sinners like you and I? No. And that's why the Bible teaches that it is kept in heaven. It is sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself is the seal, and the Christ himself is the sealer. And so they teach things like that, well, the church is going to go through the tribulation period. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that at all. There would be no point in the church going through the tribulation period. The purpose of the tribulation period is for the purification of the nation of Israel and judgment upon the heathens. Now, there would be absolutely no point for the church to go through the tribulation, and the Bible says several places in that God will keep the church from the wrath to come. Very, you know, in several places. So these are doctrines that they will bring in. But then there are others that are simply doctrines that are, well, you've got the dietary laws and the pork police. And one of the teachings, again, of course, would be that you're, as we go through this, that you have to combine what Christ did at Calvary and keep some of the Jewish laws, and if you could do that, then you can obtain salvation. And so, in other words, he's teaching that salvation by works. Now, works are evidence of salvation, but they're teaching, no, salvation is by works, that you obtain salvation by works. And then I want to go over to Acts chapter 20. And in Acts chapter 20, we read, starting with verse 29. Well, let's go to 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over that which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter into among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, over the years, we've had, I've had to deal with many, many of these people. The last one that actually came in, and he was trying to very subtly take over. He was trying to go around me, and he would. I had a time where, at one point, I had a fellow who was a pastor that was coming. He came and he was having major problems. He came to me for help. So we helped him up, got him back on his feet, and he was working in the ministry. But then he turned against the ministry. He turned against me and against the ministry, and he wanted to destroy it. We had another woman one time that, and there was a time when I was bitten by, in fact, I was bitten 3 times by a brown recluse spider. And while I was recovering from that, I got sick, but I mean, what I had to do is virtually just stay home this one Sunday. And by God's grace, you know, I didn't get real sick. And as some people that have been bitten by those brown recluse spiders, it's left, you know, really done a lot of damage. And I was lucky, even though bit 3 times, that I didn't get really sick. But anyhow, this woman was coming to our church, and she had waited for an opportunity for me not to be there, for me to be gone or absent. And she tried to start teaching the women that women should be pastors, they should take over false doctrines. Well, the ladies in the church threw her out. I mean, they just threw her right out. And now this particular woman repented of what she had done, because a few weeks later, I got a letter asking for forgiveness, saying what she did was wrong, and she knows it was wrong. She never should have done what she did. And she said that she would be too embarrassed after all that happened to come back to the church, although she would like to. And then she sent a fairly large donation to the church asking maybe this will help make up for what I did. But that woman repented, and so I would have taken her back and into the church. Then we had another fella who we would get tracts on our tract table. I would check the tract table and to make sure that the tracts were our tracts, because what they were doing, there would be tracts on our table, and people would come to me and say, do you see what's in the tracts you have? And I say, yeah, I've read them. But what they've done is the cover would be the same, the outside, but inside, it was pure heresy. They were actually saying that people that believed in the rapture of the church and people that believed in eternal life, they acquitted. They said, we also believe in space aliens and demonic spirits. I mean, all kinds of heresy they had put on the track. But on the outside, they looked the same as our track. So I had to go through that and check the track table out. So one day, I forgot something at the church, and I had gone back. And then I saw the truck of the fellow who was attending our church, had been gone for a while. And I went in and I caught him red-handed. He came in, and this was what he was doing. He was trying to cause division within the church. And then here, there was another fellow one time that came in, and he started trying to bring... he was a Judaizer, trying to put us all under the law, under the Jewish teachings. And I straightened him out real quick. And then one other time there was a guy in the middle of the service. He stands up and he shouts that all of the women in the church are whores and they're going to hell because they wear makeup. All the women in the church that have makeup on are whores and they're going to hell. Well, we have a front door and a back door, and I'm going to tell you, he found that door in a great big hurry. And we physically removed him from the church, and I gave him a warning. And he went down the street to another church down the street, went in there, did the same thing. But they held him until the police got there and they arrested him in the sheriff's department and they put him in jail. But you have, and then I've had to say things that weren't so subtle. I have a fellow who I had trained up as like an associate pastor, and he one day decided to tell me, after all these years, that I really needed to sit under his teachings, and I could learn, that I should be learning from his teachings. In other words, you know, like the devil said, I will be as the Most High. You know, when Satan said he will be like God, this fellow had decided after I had taken him in and taught him over those years that he now... was going to take my place. I mean, and so I told him, look, if you're having a problem here, then you need to leave. And he did. He left, but then he also told a lot of people that I threw him out, which I didn't. I told him he could conform or go along with the rest of us, find his place and stay in his place, stay in his lane. But he had told people that I threw him out, I forced him to leave. And as far as I know, to this day, he hasn't found another church. And then I want to go over to Acts. No, let me see. Let's go over to 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter... chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Well, one of the things here, the false prophets one of the major things of the prosperity teachings is that repentance is not necessary for salvation. This is a false teaching. It's a heretical teaching. Okay, and so they will come with this. And the other thing that you have in this prosperity preaching is that God loves you. One of the major teachings is that we are little gods, that we're little gods. In fact, Kenneth Copeland taught that dogs have puppies, little dogs, cats have kittens, little kittens, and God has little gods, his children, that we are all little gods. Well, no, we're not little gods. And I know in Scripture, in the King James, the word God with a small g means a judge, but we're not all judges either. So that's a false teaching. And here, when he's talking about through covetousness, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. And boy, I'm going to tell you, you know, there's Bible teachers especially should be paid. A pastor, in other words, is worth a laborer is worth his labor, and those that are paid should be paid by the people that's teaching. The teachers should be paid by the people that's teaching. The whole point that they're making here, that he's making, is that they intend to make more money, these false teachers, to make more money by distorting the truth and saying what people want to hear. And what they would do is, and we find this again when they say they, with itching ears, that they'll find out. And they've gone in, and we've seen these large apostate churches. We've seen Rick Warren do this. We've seen others. Well, they will go in, and they will actually take polls. They will send out, and they will ask the people. They will find out what the people want to hear preached. Okay. In other words, instead of telling them what they need to hear, they'll tell them what they want to hear. If that's what will put money in that offering plate, that's what they do. And so here, we saw, for example, T.D. Jakes had made the statement that Christ was the product. That was the product. That this is, that's him. That's who we market. He's our product. And I remember hearing him say, I don't want to wait. I want my stuff now. I want my stuff now. And here we go on. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing them in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them with the overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Well, today's sodomy, the LGBT, they try to push it, and people who are professing Christians, and I watched, and you're seeing this being accepted. And one of the things I watched on Fox News, where you have these people that were professing Christians, and I'm talking about giving praise and that to known sodomites and lesbians, and you know, and they talk about how wonderful a thing of it is that we can promote LGBTQ, we can promote this and promote that sinful lifestyle, and it's showing a good Christian spirit. It is not. God's word, the Bible says that light can have no fellowship with darkness at all. And it refers to that as the horrible, horrible sin. In fact, five places in the Bible, they're referred to as dogs. And the first time the word abomination was used, it was used to describe homosexuals. And here, in fact, that word One of the Jewish definitions of that word was the stench of rotting flesh in the nostrils of a holy God. But he goes on to say, and delivered just locks vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. So he's referring to those people, to the LGBT, as wicked. For the righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing it, hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So he's referring to how Lot lived amongst the homosexuals, and they were wicked, and their deeds were unlawful. Now the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Now this is a very good thing, because when he's talking about government, he's talking about those that despise legitimate government. They don't despise illegitimate government. They don't despise corrupt government like we have today, because that corrupt government promotes everything, that every kind of sin. It promotes sodomy. It promotes abortion. It promotes everything, drug addiction, pedophilia. Whatever God's word, the Bible calls sin, that government, this today here in America that we're living under, has become so corrupted that it embraces it, whatever it's called. And again, I've said it before, if you could invent a new sin today, by tomorrow, the Democrats would have it in their platform. He goes on to say, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. By the way, the word dignities here is referring to angelic beings like Michael and Gabriel and others. That he's saying that these people will speak evil of these angelic beings. And of course, more than anything, the Lord Jesus himself. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not the accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things which they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Do you understand what he's talking? He's referring to these people out there today that embrace everything, that embrace LGBTQ, that embrace abortion. Then he's saying that these are natural brute beasts that need to be taken. They were made to be destroyed because they speak evil of things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls as the heart. They have exercised with covetousness and practices, and their cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam and the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with a man's voice, forbid the madness of the prophet. And that was where, when Balaam was trying to go down through the narrow passageway, and the ass that he was riding on would push him into a wall on one side and then to the other, and he jumped off and he beat the ass and said, "Why are you doing this to me? Why?" And he was very surprised when the ass spoke back, and his eyes were open, and he saw an angel of the Lord standing in front of him with his sword drawn. And the ass told him, "Had I not stopped you, had I not done what I done, you would have ran smack dab into the angel of the Lord, and then that would not have ended very well for you." And so here he goes on to say, "For if they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The later is worse than with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it has happened to them again according to the true prophet, or the true proverb, the dog returned to his own vomit. Now, again, he's referring, the dogs are referred to as homosexuals are referred to as dogs here. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Here, he's referring to like lesbians and whorish women who are disobedient, those that are pro-abortion, those that abort their children, those that commit whoredom, and so on. Now, I want to go over to Isaiah chapter 56 here, just two verses in Isaiah chapter 56. And here, verse 10 and 11. His watchmen are blind, they're all ignorant, they're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, laying down, loving to slumber. Now here the word dog means actual canine, okay? Yet they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his quarter. Now here, these leaders are not necessarily religious leaders. Here they are, but they're not necessarily. Some could be just regular leaders. And here, they were like what you have today. Well, like Joe Obama, Biden. You know, here, now think about this. It says, his watchmen are blind, they're all ignorant, they're all dumb dogs, cannot bark, sleeping, laying down, loving to slumber. Yeah, they are greedy dogs. Biden just spent a ton of money he's spending on building a wall around one of his mansions. Building a wall around one of his mansions so that he can keep his family nice and safe from, let's say, illegal aliens. And meanwhile, he's brought in 2 million illegal aliens, and they're robbing and stealing and plundering and killing people all along the border, all along our border. They're bringing in tons of amphetamines, of drugs of all kinds, of just deadly, deadly drugs into this country. And the count is near 500,000 people dying every year in this country from drugs. Do you understand that? 500,000 are dying from both. And when you combine the prescription drugs with the illegal drugs, and yet, well, you hardly ever get a mention of that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, will you? But Biden, the Biden crime cartel, crime family, is working hand in hand to make sure that these drug dealers and these human smugglers have access, that they can bring them into our country, folks. And here now, so we see this, and, well, like Biden, Pelosi built a big wall around her castle, around her mansion. Now, he paid for this wall. They paid for these walls with taxpayers' money. With taxpayers' money. You see, they need to be secure, but not you. And it's just like here in these... A lot of these blue state, these big cities, with the Democrats run these cities, where they want to defund the police, but then they want to take taxpayers' money and pay the police to be their own private security. In other words, they deserve security, but not the rest of you. This is communism. This is the... And by the way, Joe Obama, when they want these 87,000 new IRS agents, and the idea that they want to turn them loose on the middle class. They want to totally, completely eliminate the middle class. They only want two classes, the very, very wealthy, those that were meant to rule, and all the rest of us to be ruled. Folks, this is the reality. This is why they want to hire these 87,000 armed agents to enforce their will upon you. Now, here, I want to go over to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, and this is a very well-known passage of Scripture that is read a lot. Verse 6, Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Now, the Judaizers, Paul was referring to two groups there, the Judaizers and the Gnostics, which he was dealing with. The Judaizers taught that faith in Christ was not enough to get salvation, that you must follow the Jewish laws and customs, especially the rite of circumcision, but also the dietary laws. And and today you have many out there pushing that same thing. You've got them pushing, you've got the pork police. Look, I don't necessarily think that eating pork as much is such a great idea, but you cannot say, go contrary. God's word, the Bible said, if it's sanctified through prayer, if you pray over it, and then it's good to eat. All things are good if it's sanctified by prayer. So you got to go along with what God teaches. And then here, they also, you know, teach that you need to keep, you know, all of the other laws. Now, the Gnostics were a little different. You know, Gnostic means that I have knowledge, that I know. Agnostic means I don't know. I have no knowledge. So what he's telling you, you had two sects of those at that time, at the same time that Paul was dealing with the Judaizers. He was dealing with them too. And the one sect of the Gnostics, they were too diverse. One said, thought that since they were spiritual beings, that we're spiritual beings, therefore we could have no contact with anything material. And so what happens is they believed that there was like a stairway to heaven, like a stairway, and that by abstaining, by eating as little as possible, wearing as little clothes as possible, touching material things as little as possible, even breathing as little as possible, they could ascend on these stairways up to heaven. The other sect believed that since they were spiritual beings and not that material things could have no bearing on us and have no effect on us. Therefore, you could eat all you want, drink all you want, have all the illicit sex that you want, and it would have no effect. Well, both sects were very wrong in what they believed, for sure. And here, again, what the Judaizers taught, the faith in Christ was not enough to get salvation. By itself, that you must follow all of the Jewish laws and customs again. And they especially emphasized circumcision. And then I wanted to go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Now the last days, okay, here, we're going to take a look at this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, you know, folks, here, what does he tell you? Men are going to be lovers of their own selves. They loved themselves, and one of the things they loved about themselves was that they were men and not women. They they believed that it was, you know, that women were not equal, you know, with men, and therefore, the other thing, they believed here, I'm going to have to stop right here because I just got the word we're running up, we're running out of time. And so the unholy confederacy amongst the apostate church and the government, folks, is here and is present today, just as it says. Listen to this. This know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And everything that I was about to read here is here today. It's here today. In other words, when you see these things, know there's the timeline. You know where you're at. So in other passages of Scripture, it talks about in later times, okay, or the end times. But here it's very specific, in the last days. And as we see everything that's in this passage of Scripture that so clearly defines the times that we're living in today, that tells you that we are ever closer to the Lord's imminent return. He will return. There are absolutes. One absolute is that you're going to die. That will happen. You're going to die. And then the other absolute is when you die, it says it's appointed all men once to die, then the judgment. You're going to go to heaven or hell. That's a fact. That's what God says. It's not. There's no stuttering there. If you are saved, if you have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus, if you have been born again, you're going to go to heaven. That's an absolute. If you are not saved, if you have rejected the word of God, okay, if you have not called upon the name of the Lord, then you will go to hell. Now, you're free to believe whatever you want. I mean, you're free to believe whatever you want, and you say, well, you know, I don't agree with it. That's fine. But that doesn't change things, not one bit. Whatever God's word, the Bible teaches, for the last 6,000 years has come down exactly when, exactly where, exactly how, without fail, and all of these will too. So you need to do that. Do it tonight. Call upon the name of the Lord. Pray to the Father. Ask forgiveness of sin. And then ask the Lord Jesus to be Lord of your life, all your life, without any reservations. We're out of time. Did you say 20? Until tomorrow, good night. God bless. And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.